Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this special episode of The Charlie Kirk Show with Jack Posobiec, who is with One American News Network and probably the leading expert on Antifa. Who funds them? Where are they from? What are they planning next? We answer all those questions here on The Charlie Kirk Show. And please listen to our sister episode that works perfectly part and parcel with this episode drop about white privilege, why it's a lie and why it is a myth. You are not going to want to miss it. Buckle up, everybody. You are going to love the show. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this special episode of The Charlie Kirk Show, a bonus episode as America burns. We have been getting thousands of emails at freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com, asking what on earth is Antifa? Where do they come from? What's their funding source? I've never gotten such interest in a specific topic. So I reached out to my friend, Jack Posobiec. I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Jack. I know it's a source of controversy. I think I did quite well. Jack, you know this quite better than anyone else, I think, in the movement. You've done scholarship on this. In fact, you are working on a book, working on exposing Antifa. Jack, the floor is yours. Educate our audience. What is Antifa? Where did they come from? Who's funding them? And what is the significance of this domestic terror group?
Hey, Charlie, thanks so much for having me on. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this. This is an organization, and it is an organization. I think we need to understand that. And I think the media has done a disservice in trying to defend them and trying to say, oh, they're not, they don't have a formal organization. They don't have a leader. They don't have a website. Like, they expect you're going to have like antifa.org where you could go to and it's got lists. It's not Turning Point USA where you can go and see the leadership and here's the donate link and here's their 990 and everything else that you could look up, right? You know, no, this is a paramilitary criminal organization. And to paraphrase Stringer Bell from The Wire, the great prophet Stringer Bell, you don't take notes on a criminal conspiracy. And so you're not going to find that. Now, a little bit about my background just for folks. I did work for about 7 years in the intelligence community. I've spent time as an intelligence officer. And for 1 year of that, I did counterterrorism work stationed at Guantanamo Bay as an intelligence analyst in the interrogator unit. And so understanding terrorist organizations, how they're put together and how to break them apart was literally the name of the game for me for a year of my life. Now, that wasn't Antifa, that was Al-Qaeda. It's a quite different group. But you start to look at these organizations, you understand a baseline of how they're put together, how they're organized, what their hierarchies are, and the TTP, so tactics, techniques, and procedures that they're going to be using is all something that you'd break out. And those are what we follow. Those are the things that we focus on when we're looking at these groups. So a terrorist group doesn't exactly walk around town advertising the fact that they are terrorists. They're walking around town claiming that they're anything but, oh, you know, we're just a couple of farmers. We're just a couple of students. We're just peaceful protesters. This is part and parcel of Antifa doctrine. And unfortunately, the media is perpetuating for them.
Well, Jack, but let's go deeper. Who's funding this group? Where do they come from? Be very specific, because our audience is looking for answers right now. And they're obviously being told by the media that they're nothing more than college kids that are trying to fight fascism. We know that is a lie. But Jack, get very specific. Who funds Antifa?
Well, the funding for Antifa comes through a variety of organizations. Color of Change is one of the main names of them. The front groups, they're funded by big liberal billionaires. And what they do is they institute these front groups, which they then draw money from, funding from, and eventually are able to recruit from. they're never going to be under the name of Antifa. It might be called something like here in Washington, D.C., they're referred to as smash racism. They have refuse fascism. In San Francisco, they have RevCom. In Oakland, they have in Oakland and Berkeley, they have a group called By Any Means Necessary, and various names around the country that they use. In Tacoma Park, Washington, they have a group called the John Brown Gun Club of Puget Sound, right? And so all of these organizations may sound like they're legitimate in name, but what they do is they'll then walk up to donors, particularly the left-wing liberal donors, ask them for money because they say they're fighting racism or they're fighting for immigrant rights. Or you can actually go to the Antifa manual, which is posted on one of Antifa's main media sites called itsgoingdown.org. And they say specifically one of their goals is to infiltrate more mainstream groups such as Black Lives Matter or such as Partners Without Borders, and then use the funding to fund their own activities in an almost parasitic relationship with them. And so what I want people to understand is that the funding for all of this tracks along with the same type of infiltration tactics and operations that we're seeing, where peaceful protests are then being hijacked for these groups to conduct their attacks by piggybacking off of them. And it's actually tactical, because what they're able to do, not only in terms of infiltrating the groups, infiltrating the funding, they're able to physically use the groups to hide their numbers, to hide their identities, to hide their individuals. And it's kind of amazing to see everything play out that we've seen in their doctrine. Just over the past couple of days here in late May, early June of 2020, that all of the doctrine that they've been saying for years and that we've exposed for years is all coming to pass right before our eyes on viral social media.
What billionaires in particular are funding these groups?
Well, I mean, you can look, of course, George Soros is a perennial funder at the top. David Brock from his empire, the American Bridge Organization. All of that money and their friends, their circle of friends, it filters down and it ends up in their hands. So I don't know if you can draw a direct line between those billionaires and these terrorists, because that's a question for law enforcement, quite frankly. That's going to be a question for AG Barr to put together as to whether or not this funding was witting, whether or not the money ending up in their hands, what makes them culpable for any of this stuff. That's going to be a question, of course, for law enforcement, for the Department of Justice. But any billionaires, and there's numerous left-wing foundations, even in some cases, corporate foundations like Ford Foundation, that have money that's going to these organizations that ends up in the hands of people who are, in fact, members of Antifa.
With currently no NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball, you might think there's nothing to bet on, but you'd be wrong. It looks like baseball might be coming back, so our exclusive partner, BetOnline, they still have hundreds of events getting ready for sports to return. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, as they are bringing the Vegas to you. Do you miss the NFL? No problem. BetOnline has live daily Madden, NFL 20 simulations you can wager on, and NASCAR is back. If you're into entertainment betting, you can still bet on stock prices, the weather, and even the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. And if you are an MMA fan, UFC 250 is coming up June 7th. That's right. To make sure to stay tuned to this podcast to hear from former MMA star Shael Sonnen and BetOnline's Dave Mason to talk all things UFC 250, including all latest betting lines. All open 24 hours a day and all online. Visit the website or use your mobile device and join today and receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, BetOnline, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. Visit BetOnline and don't forget that promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
What does the term Antifa come from? And people say it means that we're smashing fascism. We know that's not true, but can you go into the historical origins of Antifa?
Yes, I can. And I'm glad you asked that question, because there's two things going on here. First of all, the phrase Antifa, and scholars have actually held this for a very long time, that have referred to it as a political dance by Joseph Stalin, something that he used as a way to perpetuate the idea that Western democracies had people that supported the Soviet Union, by saying that you don't have to support communism. You can just say you're anti-fascism. but when in reality, it really is just a communist organization.
Yeah, I think that that's well stated. And so now the president has now classified Antifa as a domestic terror group. I'm pleased to see this. I'm a little bit worried, though, because it's such a difficult organization to just label. I mean, I've dealt with Antifa. I've stared these people in the eyes. I've been stormed out of a restaurant by Antifa with the great Candace Owens, which you can listen to our previous episode on the Charlie Kirk Show of our conversation with her. They show up at my events. They have doxed personal information at times. They've gone after me in the most vicious ways possible, yet they are still platformed and given credibility in the eyes of the media. Joy Reid has even said, well, they're fighting fascism, so how could that possibly be a bad thing? So, Jack, now we are seeing evidence, very questionable and interesting pieces of evidence, of these bricks that are being popping up across the country that are used to destroy these cities. And I know from running an organization, shipping logistics and getting things places, that's not an easy undertaking. Jack, what is your reporting and what are your sources telling you about this incident right now of American arson, of America in flames out of like that? Was this planned? Was this deliberate? Some people are saying that this was a military operation against our country. What are you seeing and hearing?
We're definitely looking at an attack of opportunity, right? They were waiting all along, I think, for the summer of 2020 to come around and planning to launch all of this. There was actually talk a few weeks ago at the beginning of May. May 1st is usually a time where we see massive Antifa activity. And yet that didn't occur. And that may have been because the pandemic was hitting very hard at that point. There was a lockdown going on. And so suddenly here we are about 1 month after that date. May Day, of course, is a very big day in the communist world. It's considered part of labor. It goes back to Haymaker March, riots of Chicago. And we didn't see the type of activity on May 1st that we normally would see on a May Day riot. But we might be seeing now is that they pushed this off and then waited for the right moment to really pull the trigger on them. And that's what we're now seeing as they're using these peaceful protests to then conduct their violence. So the fact that they're using leave behind tactics in terms of placing, in some cases, we've seen suitcases that have been left out or briefcases, school bags that are left out. You know, there's a reason, by the way, you can't leave your luggage at the airport unattended, right? You know, that's something that is a classic tactic. This, of course, was a tactic that was used by the Boston bombers. We go back and look at Boston bombing. It was a leave behind. In that case, it was pressure cooker IEDs. But you can easily also leave bricks. You can use mortar. You can use any of these implements or devices that they're able to hand out. We're also now seeing videos of kids driving around dressed in black, right? These affluent white kids driving around in Mercedes Benzes, probably mom and dad's Mercedes Benz. And it's just reading Eric Hoffer, True Believers, to get people to understand why it is that upper class or upper mid-level families would be doing this, these kids. And it has to do with their lack of a rite of passage, having worked a job or, you know, the lack thereof in their lives. But handing out bricks, handing out cement, in other cases, we've seen them bringing hammers so they can smash cement and then hand that out to the protesters. And so what they're doing is they're using these tactics to create more violence. And it's very clear about the places that they're attacking. They're attacking banks. They're attacking name brands. They're attacking churches. They attacked CNN. They attacked the Democrat headquarters out in Portland. Why are they attacking all these things? Because when they use the word fascism, they're not talking about German Nazis. When they say the word fascism, they're talking about the system of government and the free market economy of the United States of America. That to them is the Stalinist definition of fascism. That is the definition of fascism. You, me, our families, that is fascist to these people.
We at Turning Point USA talk about this quite often because I've actually dealt with these people materially, not just theoretically. I mean, I see so many people go on cable news and they either downplay the threat of Antifa and they call themselves conservatives. They say, oh, it's just a bunch of kids. Or they're on the left and they want this to happen. But again, I've been threatened by these people. I've been chased around by these people. And I know that this is not an insignificant operation. And equally, I could tell you what they're doing now. This is a whole different level of sophistication, though, Jack, this latest outburst. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in what you said. You said that this was an attack of opportunity, that they were just kind of waiting for it. And I make the argument that the lockdown actually contributed greatly to this. I mean, for 10 weeks, we shut down the American civilization. Young men in particular in urban areas have no jobs, no sports as a pressure release valve. They can't socialize with their friends. They can't go through their regular period, their regular schedule. Of course, it is a nuclear bomb waiting to detonate. And to your point, we at Turning Point USA, we talk about how college campuses and what happens on college campuses will soon happen in the halls of Congress and in American culture. And two people that were literally lighting Molotov cocktails, Jack, in the streets of New York City were barred, cleared lawyers. These are lawyers that passed the bar and certified by the New York Bar Association. It is Collinford Mattis and Aruj Rahman. One of Collinford Mattis went to NYU and Princeton. I mean, this is not, you're now seeing people in the elitist form of society participating in the most anarchist forms of backlash. So now we are seeing Antifa weave in and out of protests and use the anger that people have, that I believe is generally and mostly misguided, to try to put forth a deconstructionist, dismantling agenda of Western society. You know the playbook of Antifa, Jack. What's next? What else are they planning?
Yeah, Charlie, I mean, my first encounter with Antifa was when they attacked the DNC. I was covering the protests there, the sort of Bernie Sanders side of the protests in 2016 in Philadelphia. They attacked the Democrat National Convention. I held an inaugural ball when President Trump was inaugurated on January 20th of 2017. They attacked my ball. They attacked my, we had 1,000 guests in the National Press Club of Washington, D.C., the national, in our nation's capital. They attacked it. They had an entire sea. Setting fires, throwing batteries, throwing acid, throwing bricks, throwing eggs at my family, my now wife, my mother, my father. This is a group that has been organized and has been inculcated, I would say, by these universities in academia, because their goal is the destabilization of Western society itself. Their goal is the destruction of our current civilization. They want to be, and this was the goal of the Antifa groups, by the way, that were originally founded to destabilize where? The Weimar Republic of Germany in the 1930s. Of course, the only problem was after the NKVD set up the Communist Party of Germany, and then they brought out in the anti-fascists to be sort of the fighting club. Well, we know what happened, right? They destabilized the country so much that it enabled Adolf Hitler to come to power. And it led down that road away from the republic that they were trying to keep going after the Intifada. And so Antifa for a long time has been a destabilization tool of the far left. And so when people, I heard CNN earlier this week calling them a liberal group. And I said, no, they are not. They are the most illiberal group you can find probably anywhere in Western society.
That's well said. And in addition to that, people, I get asked this question all the time by mostly successful people in their 60s and 70s and 80s. And I laugh when I get this question. I'm not laughing at them. I'm not at the people asking the question. I laugh at the idea of the question where they say, well, what do they want? Like, what's their end goal? And the best way I can describe it is the Joker in Batman, the second one, where, and it's that beautiful scene with, actually, it's awfully tragic, but it's beautiful imagery, I should say. Piles of money, right? And he lights it on fire, and he says, some people just want to watch the world burn. And I think that encapsulates a lot of these individuals, that they feel, as you say, they've been deprived of their rite of passage. They've had no such hero's journey. They have no meaning. They have no responsibility. They have been taught nothing but what right they have, which of course is important, but with
blue collar workers in Antifa, which of course is purportedly a workers organization, you're not going to find them. You're going to find people like the lawyers that you just pointed out.
Right. And so this is a very interesting bifurcation where you have lower middle class protesters that are usually not violent because it's their communities, and then upper middle class individuals that use these tactics for broader destabilization. Do you want to build the wall? Well, you need to build the wall around your computer. That's what PCmatic does. PCmatic is a whitelist next-generation antivirus system designed to stop modern threats like ransomware. Independent testing firm AV-Test just named PCmatic as the top performer in the cybersecurity industry, giving it the Best Performance Award for 2019. Only PCmatic has American research, development, and support. PCmatic's competition is made in foreign countries, many where the viruses originate. PCmatic blocks annoying and malicious ads for hassle-free web browsing and makes your computers faster and more reliable, even after years of use. The Chinese Communist Party is trying to get into your computer. PCmatic can prevent it at PCmatic.com/Charlie. PCmatic blocks annoying and malicious ads for hassle-free web browsing and makes your computers faster and more reliable even after years of use. PCmatic protects Windows computers including XP, Vista, Windows 7, 8, and 10, Windows servers, Macs, MacBooks, Androids, and phone tablets. It's $50 for 5 devices for 1 year with a full 30-day money-back guarantee. Get world-class security, build the wall, build it high, build it wide, PCmatic.com/Charlie. So Jack, can you go even further and add more context of who is supporting these groups, not just monetarily, you talked about that, but politicians that have been silent, if not cooperative with them? We've seen Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez post an Instagram post where she said basically best practices in how to commit domestic terror in her congressional district, turn facial ID off, turn data off, wear clothes with that don't allow, you know, your tattoos to be seen. Who else is supporting this? Is this intergovernmental?
Well, one of the biggest and most direct, and actually it's interesting how it connects to how this all started with Minnesota, is of course the current Attorney General of Minnesota, a guy by the name of Keith Ellison. Keith Ellison's a former congressman. Ilhan Omar now holds his seat. He became the Attorney General of Minnesota. He has publicly endorsed the Antifa manual. He posted a picture on Twitter urging his followers and his far left radicals to read that book, which is a book written by Mark Bray, who is constantly published by the Washington Post. He had a post up just recently in there, where it calls specifically for violence. It calls for organizing, and it teaches people how to go and form cells that are using essentially protected internet sites, use encrypted communications. But because the deeper you delve into this, they're teaching you these tactics. And you mentioned that Ocasio-Cortez touched on some of the surface level tactics, but the deeper you go, they are teaching you the same paramilitary tactics that we see terrorist organizations use in the Middle East, that we see transnational criminal organizations like MS-13 and the cartels use, and we see criminal organizations of gangs here in the United States use. Go back to the wire, SIM swapping and burner phones and all that stuff. So these are tactics that they're using to hide their criminal activities from law enforcement, that through these organizations that are then being trumpeted by Keith Ellison. Now, Keith Ellison's son, by the way, Jeremiah Ellison, is on the city council of Minneapolis. He tweeted just a few days ago that I fully support Antifa. He said it right there for everyone to see.
So, but now, Jack, here's where I'm trying to connect the dots. President Trump designates them as a domestic terror group. What's the significance of this? You and I have been pushing for this for quite a while. But give our listeners an understanding. Doesn't this designation give the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation more tools to be able to dismantle them?
Yes, it does, Charlie. So what's going to happen, and it's a story that I broke, AG Barr then confirmed it after we talked about it on One American News a day later, that the 56 joint terrorism task forces around the country, which are constituted around major cities that are meant to be fusion centers of intelligence, of federal law enforcement, of local law enforcement. So your TSA is going to have a representative there. Your FBI, your DEA, your drug enforcement is going to be there, along with the local cops. Border Patrol is going to run through there. So because when you have these organizations that, of course, they don't comport to our rules. So our systems of law enforcement have to find ways to work together to do that proper handshake where you can then use intelligence tools. So, for example, we've been talking about the FISA Act for so long because of the way it was improperly used against President Donald Trump, his campaign, etc. But we shouldn't overlook the fact that the government has these tools for a proper purpose as well. And that is for going after violent organizations, violent organized internet organizations, for going after terrorists, for going after foreign spies. This is one of the legitimate purposes of the government having that ability to then listen into phone calls, to be able to track cell phone data. We saw here in the city of Washington, D.C., that there were numerous surveillance flights flying over the city last night. It would not surprise me to find out that if any of those flights had a Stingray attached to them. Now, what a Stingray device does, it's known as an IMSI catcher. So that's catching your all the SIM cards that are around in an area at any given moment. So if you are out past curfew, it's picking that up and it's picking up who you are and where you were, and it's tracking your locations. Then you can go a step further, and that can be used as probable cause, because if they find someone on camera that they think it's that person, they can then go back to that electronic surveillance and use that as a way to determine who specifically was conducting what acts. For example, if a certain person was in a location at that time, because they probably have their cell phone with them. Unless, of course, they're following very strictly communications security, or known as CommSec.
Well, Jack, I think that that's so helpful. And actually, I want the president to say this, because I actually think it would scare the cowards from rioting and looting further. If you would just say, you have no idea how much information we have on all of you, and we might be paying a lot of you visits very time soon. I mean, these are cowards. I mean, these guys are not exactly the most courageous members of society. And so what you're trying to tell me is that the designation of them as a terrorist group really opens up the federal toolbox, if you will. And look, you and I both, we are apprehensive of surveillance of American citizens. We are Fourth Amendment advocates. In fact, a lot of our friends, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn was spied on. The President of the United States was spied on. And so with all this being said, now we have a real situation of domestic terror defended by our politicians, by the way. And I have to say this, Jack, and I know you agree, but it has to be repeated and vocalized. Imagine for a minute if these rioters were wearing MAGA hats. Do you think that there would be any tolerance for any American politician if there were rioters? Well, first of all, that would never happen, because we're decent and we love America and we don't burn down buildings. There's just a different moral code we operate by. But could you imagine what the reaction would be? No one would defend it. No one would say, well, they're trying to blow off steam. They're trying to, you know, do something justifiable.
From the Philadelphia area, and there were some videos coming out yesterday of a neighborhood there called Fishtown, which is a certain section of Philadelphia. That's a little bit more white working class. It's known for a white working class neighborhood. And there were guys on the roofs of the neighborhood with AR-15 saying, hey, we're up here on neighborhood watch. And after multiple nights of looting, they say they'd had enough and they were going to stand up there the whole night to protect their neighborhood, to defend their community. But if you went to Twitter, immediately those people were called Nazis. They were called white supremacists. They were called KKK members. But then you could go to their videos. They were streaming on Instagram the entire time saying, look, we're just up here utilizing our Second Amendment for the purpose for which it was instituted, to defend ourselves, to defend our property, to defend our livelihoods. This is our home, and we want to defend that, period. And because the police have become overwhelmed, the citizens of the United States under the Second Amendment have an inherent right to do so.
Do you owe money for student loan debt? Are you being crushed by the cartel of the colleges? Do you have a grandson, granddaughter, son or daughter that do not know what they are going to do with their student loan debt? It's just keeping them up at night. Well, guess what? There is a path forward. It's called Credible.com. It's an online marketplace that gets you pre-qualified student loan refinancing rates from up to 10 different lenders. They are a shopping market to get you out of debt. They help people get out of student loan debt, and if you've got student loan debt, you could benefit. With a lower rate, you could save on interest and lower your monthly payment. It's cash in your pocket, money in your pocket. With a shorter loan term, you could get debt-free faster. Consolidate all your student loan bills in one place. Credible customers have given awesome reviews about how much better their lives have been after refinancing their student loans. On Credible, you see actual pre-qualified rates from up to 10 different lenders, whereas at some other marketplaces, you only get a range of rates or ballpark estimates. Guess what? It only takes a couple minutes to check rates. You can get out of student loan debt. Again, if you have student loan debt, why are you not going to Credible.com? It's the way to get out. Checking rates does not impact your credit. They'll never sell your data, so you won't receive spam and phone calls from dozens of lenders.
So please visit Credible.com/Charlie. That's Credible.com/Charlie. When you refinance your student loans, using this link, they'll give you a $200 gift card. That's Credible.com/Charlie. Credible.com/Charlie.
I totally agree with that, and I'm afraid that this is actually, if I'm trying to game this out, Jack, if the violence is allowed to continue, and if I hated America, I'd want it to get to this place where people that own guns are not going to take this much longer, and they will actually go and defend their businesses.
The destabilization that we're all talking about. This is exactly the destabilization, the undermining of the rule of law itself. Why did they attack Philadelphia? The symbolism of attacking the birthplace of our liberty itself. 1776, the Declaration. Later, the Constitution of America, right there, Independence Hall. It is symbolic that they've attacked Philadelphia, and it is symbolic that they're attacking that because what their ultimate goal is the undermining, the subversion, and the destabilization of our very system. This is our republic, right? This is our republic, Benjamin Franklin, republic if you can keep it. Well, you know, I've talked to some of these protesters that are members of Black Lives Matter, and they've said, look, you know, we want to reform the system. We don't want to overthrow the system. We want to work to make our communities better. We don't want destruction. We don't want violence, right? You know, America's at a crossroads right now, and it's been brought to that, and it's been exacerbated by these forces like Antifa that are doing this part and parcel because it's what they want. So, you know, just to go back a little bit, we were talking about the federal toolbox. There was an individual who was caught on video in the city of Pittsburgh a couple of days ago who had gone in, was a white kid in his 20s, wearing sunglasses, all the classic black hat, black hoodie of Antifa. And he's in there going into a peaceful protest and then starts smashing a police car, starts spray painting it, and raising all sorts of mayhem. They then are talking about the fact that he may have been trying to use incendiary devices. Immediately after that, the FBI, working together with the police of Pittsburgh, put together essentially a manhunt for him. He was identified within hours. They had his identity, they had his location, they had search warrants, they had everything that was brought to bear on him with the full power of the federal resources and federal law enforcement. So to these guys who have been able to do this for impunity, right, back in 2017, back in 2016, those days are over now. Those days are absolutely over because they can find you so quickly. And by the way, to take it to the next level is very sad because the kid eventually turned himself in to Pittsburgh police, but it was his parents that brought him there. And you could see something in the walk of that father. And I've got a young kid myself. You could see it in his walk. You could see it in his face that he realized I screwed up somewhere and I let my son be turned into this. And I think that's a huge message for everybody who's a parent, who's a grandparent out there, who's thinking about starting a family. That we need to do something to off-ramp this before it gets out of control.
Yeah, and I'm afraid that the architects of the chaos, if you will, the merchants of chaos, they're waiting for people that own firearms to start shooting back. And then they'll use that as an example for more civil discord. And I don't want it to get to that, actually. I would prefer it doesn't. But, for example, in Scottsdale, Arizona, in a place that is pretty, you know, let's just say upper middle class, the entire shopping malls are being destroyed. They are talking about, on all their internal Discord chats and the ways that they communicate, going into neighborhoods and doing the worst things you could possibly imagine. And what bothers me the most, Jack, is that you have this transfusion of pent up anger and distrust of the system, some of which is warranted, by the way, some of which is not warranted. Let me just put it that way. And then the lockdowns contribute heavily to this. It could not have been a more perfect storm in the most tragic sense that this is all coming together. And then you have the convenient amount of money that is flowing to them. And I want to ask something about Jack, and I don't want to get too far into the stuff that we do not know. But hasn't it always been Antifa's modus operandi to wear masks? Hasn't that something they've always done? And isn't it, some would say, curious, I'm getting a lot of messages on this, so I have to ask, that they make a huge push for wearing masks the couple weeks before the people that wear masks take over our society?
Well, I'd say it's very interesting. I would say it's certainly very interesting. You know, obviously, you've got people pushing that for various reasons. I do think that there are members of the medical community that were pushing that for in good faith, in the sense that they were thinking, hey, there's this respiratory disease going around, wear a mask, save a life. But you have to wonder that these people with their fiendish minds were then thinking that, hey, if we want to go do something, we can walk around now with impunity with our masks on, because now everyone is wearing a mask. So when Antifa conducts one of their traditional black blocks, they usually use like three layers of it. It's a red, yellow, green system. So the greens are the ones, but everyone's dressed the same. The greens are the mass amount of people that are there, you know, usually some college kids, some guys just want to blow off steam, want to feel like they're doing something, maybe take some pictures for the Instagram later, right? Then the yellows are your organizers. It's a pyramid structure as well. Yellows is the middle tier. That's your organizers. Those are the ones, they know some of the training. They probably know the full network. They probably have some reach back into these wider organizations. And then finally, you have your reds. And then the reds are the ones that are actually going to commit what they call direct action. Direct action means violence, vandalism, destruction of property. And you're seeing this, by the way, you see these military tactics playing out in this, where you'll see one guy goes by, smashes a window with a hammer. Then another guy comes by, throws smoke bombs or shoots fireworks in the exact same windows where those have been broken out. That's not happening at random. That's a tactic. When the milkshake attacks, what they do, Andy Ngo, right, is of course the perennial example of this, where he's blinded first, then he's assaulted, then he has stuff thrown at him. And if you watch the video very slowly, you can see it. And if you look at it with the tactical analysis that you can do on it, you're seeing a plan being executed as they go throughout these attacks. And so the fact then that they now have more people wearing masks, right, you know, through no fault of, I think through no fault of their own, I think there's people doing it in good faith, but this allows them then to piggyback on this in a sense where almost everyone becomes a member of the Black Bloc.
So that kind of tiered system, Jack, that you just mentioned, which is fascinating, by the way, who designs that? Are there certain people that are, is there a hierarchy in Antifa? Because they claim there isn't. But if there's a system like that, then someone's calling the shots, right?
Right. Well, there's websites out there where this doctrine is perpetuated. It's going down. Crime Think. There's so much writing and so much information on the black blocs. And in some cases, by the way, this stuff is not anything new. I mean, we saw black blocs going as far back as the Occupy movement. Even before that, the Battle of Seattle back in 1999, there was black bloc activity. And even prior to that, in the early 90s, there was black bloc activity going on. So this body of information has been going around for quite some time, and it's existed on the internet. And yet, internet service providers who usually, and certainly social media companies who do so much to talk about censoring violence and censoring calls to violence or glorification of violence, they do nothing about these extremist violent groups spreading this information and spreading these tactics. This is essentially, I think the most famous one, of course, or infamous one would be the Anarchist's Cookbook. The Anarchist Cookbook is something that was written in the 80s. It was uploaded to the internet through the early days of the internet in the early 90s. And it is a how-to guide for the sort of at-home anarchist to build anything from pressure cooker bombs to pipe bombs, etc. They're using the same tactics, by the way, that Al-Qaeda used in their Inspire magazines. This was Al-Qaeda in Arabian Peninsula, AQAP. They published a magazine, essentially a digital magazine, which they would then send out to the English-speaking world trying to pick up converts to radical Islam. And so Antifa, it's usually easier to think of Antifa itself as an ideology, just like radical Islam. There are various groups, various converts, and in some cases, of course, self-radicalized individuals. That's what you saw with the Boston bombers. They read the pressure cooker article of that Inspire magazine and then used those same tactics on the Boston Marathon. Of course, my automatic lights are going off because I'm not moving around.
That's very well said. So I guess the, and people ask, they say, well, why is their draw so strong? And anyone who asks that question needs to spend more time on a college campus, because you spend 4 years learning your country is awful and that there is no God, there is no meaning, and the world is going to end in 10 years if we don't take dramatic climate action, and that if anyone's rich, they got it through pillaging and stealing. Men have no identity, therefore they hide their face. I mean, men basically in society are so under attack. And I can see why there's an appeal to this. There's a radicalization allure, if you will, in the same way that the most radical elements and movements have attracted people for decades. And we've studied this in a variety of different ways. The only difference here, Jack, that I see, this is the first widespread domestic movement, correct me if I'm wrong, that has vocal support from our elected officials and also monetary support from our ruling class. Is that right?
I can't think of anything else in U.S. history that's had something like this. Charlie, not only is it a group of nihilists, which I think you said accurately, but it's glorified nihilism, right? In the sense where, if let's say you're somebody who's growing up in the 2000s, you lived through the financial crisis, you're living through this pandemic, the shutdown, you're told that you're never going to amount to anything, you're a racist from the moment you were born, and that you can never have any ownership in society because society itself is equal. That's the 1619 Project. So then you become angry, you become disturbed, you want to lash out. And the media tells you that Antifa is this great group that they praise, that they glorify, that they really inspire. So of course, people who are coming to it from that, with that type of personality, with that type of anger, they're then told that if you go to Antifa, you'll be given a free pass. You'll be given a free pass if you just want to go brawl in the streets and go smash up stuff and go loot. And they say, oh, you know, you're not doing it for, just as a criminal, you're doing it for a cause. And that's very dangerous because, as Eric Hoffer writes in True Believer, not every movement needs a God, but every movement needs a devil. And the devil in the movement of Antifa is the United States, is the West, is Judeo-Christian values, is the entire system of Western civilization itself that so many people have fought to defend, to grow, to evolve, to progress through innovation. And it's incredible, by the way, that we're now seeing the rebirth of the American space program at the same time, right? Happening simultaneously with this Antifa violence, because it's almost like America is at that crossroads. And do we want to be the America that reaches up for the stars, or do we want to be the America that's punching ourselves in the face?
Yeah, the tale of two Americas. And now it's going to come at a full apex point for the election. To close us out, Jack, tell us what Donald Trump has to do to win the election, incorporate Antifa, incorporate this domestic violence and the civil unrest. You're a huge Trump supporter, a vocal one at that. Please, kind of connect the dots for our listeners, because I've never gotten more messages. Even during coronavirus, I didn't get as many messages, the Chinese coronavirus. I didn't get as many messages as I am right now of people that are worried, that are unsettled, that are confused about the future of our country.
Well, I was there in Cleveland at the RNC when President Trump received the nomination for the 2016 election. I wasn't really someone who considered myself a McCain or Romney supporter. I kind of sat those elections out. I went off. I was living in China for a couple of years. I joined the military. Wasn't involved very politically because I saw the party, quite frankly, at that point, as something that was just ineffective. I saw the Republican Party as sort of just existing as a foil for the Democrats. The Democrats kept winning. But when Donald Trump accepted that nomination, he campaigned on making America safe again. He campaigned on law and order. Remember, we had just seen the violence of Ferguson. We had just seen the riots in Baltimore. I covered the riots live in Baltimore, the Freddie Gray riots. And so when President Trump campaigned on this, he campaigned on law and order. And you can go look at the Morning Consult poll that's out today that says 60% of Americans support the U.S. Federal government using federal resources to quell the rioting in these cities, that this is something that goes far beyond left versus right, right? This is a 60-40 issue. And depending on the way you ask the question, maybe a 70-30 issue, where people want safety in their cities. They want safety in their communities. They want safety at home. This is the kind of thing. And by the way, just to kind of put my political hat on, seeing as I am from southeastern Pennsylvania. And of course, that's an area that always comes talk about every 4 years come election time, that this is the type of thing that you can use to go to suburban voters who say, you know what? They may not like Donald Trump's rhetoric very much. They may not like the New York attitude. They may not like certain tweets here and there, but they want to be safe. And if he's the type of person that can use that strength to keep them safe, that's the kind of thing that turns votes.
And I'm just watching footage right now on cable news as we're having this discussion of Cicero, Illinois and Naperville, Illinois, 20 minutes from where I grew up in Chicago. You're a Chicago guy too, right, Jack? If I remember, you have some form of Chicago roots. I don't know why I thought that. Well, we met once in Chicago. That's right. Okay. And you're Polish, so I assume that you're Chicagoan. So,
funny enough, no. So half my family, when they immigrated, moved out to Chicago, and then the other half stayed in Philly.
That's so. I had that a little bit misremembering, but the suburbs of Chicago, which would be like Haverford. I don't know if I'm or Bryn Mawr. Let me just put it that way. Outside of Philadelphia, imagine that type of area being looted and rioted, which is what's happening in Naperville, Illinois, right now. And it's that type of area that is on fire. It's that type of area.
You've also got, and keep in mind that even though we're talking about Antifa, that we know that there's thrill seekers, there's looters, there's criminals, there's gangs that are going out there. And once they realize that, hey, if all the police are busy in one area, then that means I can go loot the rich areas because nobody's watching them the way they normally would be. These guys aren't, they're not fools, right? In the sense that we think that may just be a bunch of numbskulls. And actually one of the problems you just mentioned, Haverford and Bryn Mawr, one of the big problems in Haverford and Bryn Mawr is because geographically, that's only a couple of miles from West Philadelphia, right? So you've got these massive houses, these old money families living just a few miles down the road from West Philadelphia, which is one of the most crime ridden, poverty stricken areas of America. Those guys can hop in the car, drive down, and they can doorstep you very, very quickly when you're living in those areas. And so that's a huge reason for why the Second Amendment is so important in that area, why police patrols are so stepped up in that area, because even though they are so affluent, they actually live in quite close proximity to a lot of criminal activity.
It's well said. Well, everybody follow Jack on Twitter. Jack, how can they stay in touch? Anything you want to plug to our audience?
Yeah, only plug I would say is One American News. You know, we're the fastest growing conservative media out there today. We definitely are someone who does not fall for mainstream media hoaxes. In fact, we typically debunk them. Our coverage at the White House has been on point. We are of an independent mind, and we are always there to point out when the mainstream media is lying. And we are there on the ground as much as we can, not only in the United States at the Trump rallies, but covering these protests and going around the world. We've gone to Russia. We've gone to Syria. We've gone to all throughout Europe to talk about what is actually happening in these places. We just had a special group that got back from Ukraine during all of that to find out what the heck Joe Biden was doing in Ukraine and his son Hunter. And we're going to be going back there. We're going to be doing more interviews of that as we continue this election, because this is the information that people need to get, because we are now in an information battle. It's a narrative battle. And so understanding what's going on through clear, fact-based evidence reporting is how we win.
I love it. Well, Jack, thanks so much for joining the Charlie Kirk Show, and more reporting to come. Thanks, Jack. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Please email me your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, your podcast provider, hit subscribe, and leave us those 5-star reviews that help us surge in the charts and keep our show top 10 on the Apple charts, which we are so thankful that we are there. And if you've listened to this episode and you want a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, we're giving away 10 free signed copies. Just type in Antifa. It's probably the first and last time you might do that to your subject line and shoot us an email. Thanks so much, everybody. God bless.